Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. I'm going to read verses 1 through 16. We're going to be looking at the subject, a diet that really works. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 16. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. Oh, let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord, teach me Thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of Thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in Thy precepts and have respect unto Thy ways. I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, during this time together around the Word of God, instruct us through Your Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, that from the youngest to the oldest, we can take heed unto Thy Word and find cleansing and direction and strength to live the Christian life. Thank You for what Your Word instructs us in this wonderful passage. Open our eyes to behold wondrous truths out of Thy Word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. America today is going through a physical fitness craze. Exercise equipment abounds on TV, on eBay, in department stores, in home shopping networks, and yes, even in the garage sales. You can enter just about any garage sale in any home, and you're sure to find exercise equipment that originally had been purchased with good intention, but perhaps never quite got used and became a dust collector. You know, a calorie guide was cited by a recent medical association report. Studies have been made that indicate that it is not only beneficial to control your caloric intake, but it is important that we get proper exercise to burn off excess calories. Here's a guide that I came across for calorie burning activities that I think that all of us may be involved in at one time or another. Calorie burning activities and the number of calories per hour that they consume. Beating around the bush, 75 calories per hour. Jumping to conclusions, 100 calories per hour. Climbing the walls, some of you have done that this week, 150 calories per hour. Swallowing your pride, 50 calories. Passing the buck, 25 calories. Throwing your weight around. Now, depending on your weight, generally either 50 to 300 calories per hour. Dragging your heels, 100 calories. Pushing your luck, 250. Making a mountain out of a molehill, 500 calories. Hitting the nail on the head, 50. Bending over backwards, 75. Jumping on the bandwagon, 200. Running around in circles, 350 per hour. Eating crow, 225. Tooting your own horn, 25. Adding fuel to the fire, 150. Opening up a can of worms, that's 50. You know, as critical as physical fitness may truly be, and how true it is that caloric intake as well as physical exercise is important, we must remember the priority that God's Word provides. For instance, in the little epistle called 3 John, just before the book of Jude, 3 John, verse 2, records the wishes of the Apostle John as he told his readers the following, as he regards the priority of physical exercise versus spiritual exercise. Which is more important? Which comes first? Here it says in 3 John, verse 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Now, if our physical condition were commensurate or equal to our spiritual condition, I reckon that some of us perhaps might very well be in the intensive care unit with IV, respirator, and tube feeding through the navel, and all kinds of mechanical equipment trying to prop us up. Because so often, the neglect of the spiritual is evident in our lives, is it not? In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, Paul told young Timothy, "Bodily exercise profiteth little." Now, the word little there has the idea of a little while. In other words, bodily exercise, as important as it is, it's transient, it's temporary. Because then further on in the verse, he says, "But godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of the life that now is, and also that which is to come." So bodily exercise impacts our lives and our stewardship here on earth. And indeed, it is important. But spiritual exercise impacts us in this life and also in the life to come. So if you're looking for a diet that really works, let's concentrate tonight on Psalm 119. We're going to be zeroing in on verses 9 through 16. I've had young people that have come up to me and said, "You know, with all of the stuff that's around, I bet you it's a lot harder to live the Christian life today than it was when you were 16 years old. Isn't it, Pastor John?" And you know, I look at the world today and I see the accessibility of sin, the acceptance of sin. When I was 16 years old, oh, you could get into an awful lot of stuff. Generally, when a student was caught with a .45, it was generally a record instead of a weapon. But the world is changing today. People were caught smoking in the restroom when I was in high school and suspended summarily. Nowadays, it's drugs and marijuana, and as I mentioned, weapons in the lockers, violence. We see today that when I was 16 years old, if a person were to get involved with with the filth that you see on the internet today. You had to go to a sleazy part of town, and you had to go to some smut farm or some bad store in the worst part of town where they would have their garbage portrayed. But now it's accessible in a living room, in a sanitized environment. If you were to go to that seedy part of town, you had to risk being seen by people. You had to risk the possibility of being discovered. You had to risk your own physical safety to go to some of those places. But now, in the comfort of one's living room or in the bedroom, sin has made so easy, has been made so easy to access. And in that sense, yes, there is a great battle facing young people in the sense of the accessibility and also the worldwide acceptance of many of the aberrant practices that at least were considered wrong in the earlier generation. But you know, verse 9 is true. Verse 9 is true. Young person listening to my voice, you can keep your heart pure. You can fight and do spiritual warfare against the devil. God's word says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. I'm here to tell you, folks, I've experienced it in my life in spiritual warfare. God's word can and will work. God's home can transform your victory over the devil. God's word can give you the answers that all of us need in our homes and in our families to be able to stand up and be able to be an answer to what society is facing rather than a contributive problem to what society has. And we're going to be looking at the diet that is provided for us. And I want us to take a look. What's the first element in a proper spiritual diet if we're going to have victory at whatever age we may find ourselves? As young person, as middle adult, as a senior adult, whatever the case might be. Look at verse 10. The first element, the first key for a successful diet that works is seek the Lord on a regular basis. Seek the Lord on a regular basis. Look what it says in verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. You know, the heart refers to the seat of the emotions, the mind and the will, that which drives and motivates you. I think of David Livingstone, whose body was placed in Westminster Abbey. But you know where his heart was? His heart was placed at the foot of a tall tree in a small African village that the natives had dug a hole and they placed his literal heart at the base of this tree. Why? Because he had given his heart wholeheartedly to the winning of lost souls in Africa. You know, if your heart were to be buried in the place that you loved most during life, where would it be? Where would your heart be? Would it be in some athletic stadium? Would it be perhaps in some internet store in the mall? Or a video arcade? Or would it be at a restaurant? Or would it be at some movie theater? Would it be in some palatial earthly dwelling? No, the Word of God reminds us how important it is that we seek the Lord with our whole heart. Seek the Lord on a regular basis. So often we make temporary decisions. I'm going to start reading the Word of God. I'm going to start having a devotion time. But we do so half-heartedly. Here, David says, with my whole heart I have sought thee. But I want you to notice in the book of 2 Chronicles, talking about wholeheartedness. Look at 2 Chronicles. Don't lose your place in Psalm, but look at 2 Chronicles 34. 2 Chronicles 34. Talk about a young man cleansing his way. Young King Josiah began to reign at 8 years of age. Imagine that. And he did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. And he reigned obediently for 18 years. And at age 26, he began making tremendous reforms. And notice verse 31 of 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Here the Word of God says, speaking of King Josiah, the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord. Oh, may that be our response today. What's keeping us from making that covenant before the Lord to seek Him? Notice it says he made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and keep His commandments and His testimonies and His statutes, notice, with all his heart. That was his driving motive, with all of his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. It goes on to say, he caused all that were present in Jerusalem and Benjamin to stand to it. All of us are going to impact others when we make a decision. Some of you listening to my voice may have younger brothers or sisters. What a tremendous impact you can have on their life for good if you will be like a Josiah. And you don't have to be 50 years old to be a Josiah. You can be a Josiah as a young boy. You can be a Daniel at age 17, where he purposed in his heart not to defile himself. And he did so before the trial came. And when the time came, when the evil day came, he was able to do what Ephesians 6 said, stand in the evil day. Why? He purposed in his heart not to defile himself. You know, we're living in a day where so many are concerned, what are my friends going to think? They're going to think I'm weird. They're going to think I'm out of step. You know, may God give us young people who'll be willing to stand for what is right. And you want to know how that's going to happen? When we have us big kids be willing to do that as well. Because we can bend to peer pressure too, can't we? We can bend and go to the way of acceptance and the way of the world, and before long we're suffering the calamities of the world because those are the priorities that we're seeking. But notice, he caused himself and others to stand to it. Maybe we as parents need to corral our young people and our children and our families and say, as for me and my house, we're going to stand to it. We're going to serve the Lord. Here's young Josiah who takes his people and lets them know where he stands. And the inhabitants of Jerusalem did according to the covenant of God, the God of their fathers. And Josiah took away all of the abominations out of all of the countries that pertained to the children of Israel. Maybe we need to have a house cleaning. Maybe we need to clean out our refrigerator or our cupboards or what we have on the shelf in our living room and in our bedrooms. Maybe we need to ask ourselves, Lord, where are the idols in my life? Where are those things? An idol can even be an attitude. Whatever it is that comes between us and serving God 100%. And notice, he made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. Notice, going back now to Psalm 119, with my whole heart have I sought thee. May we be like young Josiah and impact a generation for the Lord God. That impacts not only our heart, but our habits. Notice what it says here about our habits. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. You know, the Hebrew word wander carries the idea of wandering through either ignorance or deception. How much it is our tendency. Why do we wander from the truths of God's Word? Why is it that our families and our loved ones are wandering from the things of God? Oftentimes it's because of ignorance. Simply because we're not in the Word of God to know the promises that we can claim. But oftentimes it's as well because of deception. Deception by self, where we just kind of look the other way and pretend that problems aren't there. Or, if it's not self, it's Satan and his deception. But either way, the cure is a proper diet in God's Word. To seek the Lord means to be in His Word daily. Pursue the Lord daily. Keep Him involved in the everyday matters of your life. Include Him in your decisions. When you make a decision as a family or as a husband or a wife, come together, pray about matters. Seek His will. Seek His face. Yes, but if I do, then He'll say no. If I tell Him that I want to buy this dress, or He'll say no. So what I want to do is go and buy it on credit and then tell Him after a good meal and kind of get Him on the move. Sometimes it works the other way, men with their purchases. But you know, learn to pray about matters. Include Him in your decisions, in your plans, even in your fun times. Include Him in your struggles. The key is to consistently seek the Lord on a regular basis. And when your children see that decisions are bathed in prayer, they're going to learn to follow that same course of action. I want you to notice the second principle, the second key element in a diet that works is not only seeking the Lord on a regular basis, but verse 11, treasure His truth in your heart. It says here, thy word have I hid in my heart. Just like a treasure that you want to make sure you have possession of. Hide it in your heart that I might not sin against thee. Commit verses of Scripture to memory. If you're having trouble with your thought life, memorize Scriptures that will speak to that issue. If you have trouble with worry or anxiety, if you're having trouble with concerns about your health and your well-being in the future, there are verses of Scripture that you can memorize and claim. The word hid means to treasure, to store up. Why? Because you're going to need it in the future, and you're going to need it in the present. Think of it. If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, used and relied on God's Word to do battle with Satan, and He is the Son of God, God manifested in the flesh, if He saw it necessary to use the Word of God against the devil, then why is it that we're not doing that? So often, we're not. I think of verses of Scripture that we may have memorized in the past and even in the present, but are we using the tool that we have to do warfare? I'm reminded of the story of a seminary professor that went to the Holy Land, and he met a man. He was actually a tour guide. But this tour guide claimed to have the entire Old Testament memorized. Well, this seminary professor was rather impressed by this claim. So one day at the end of a tour, they were sitting in one of the lobbies in a hotel, and the professor asked this tour guide, why don't you just begin with the book of Psalms and just go from Psalm 1 and just work your way through until I tell you to stop. And indeed, the tour guide began quoting the scripture, began with Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1, and began to recite from memory. And he was going on and on, chapter after chapter, for 2 hours. This man was reciting from the Psalms, and the professor finally stopped him, totally amazed, stunned in silence at this man's ability to recall the Word of God. But you know, there was something else that this seminary professor discovered about this tour director guide. He was an atheist. He was an atheist. Although he had memorized God's Word, he had not internalized God's Word in obedience and in faith and trust. And I began thinking, when I read that story, how true that is with many believers. We can sit week after week after week. Many of us have been raised in sound, fundamental churches, hearing the best of preachers from various parts of the country. Above all, we in America are blessed with many, many radio personalities and speakers that, while we may not endorse every jot and tittle, they give great Bible content that is available to us as American citizens. And with the internet and the advent of the technology, and yet what are we doing? Are we using what we have in doing spiritual warfare? We must treasure the truth of God's Word in our hearts, yes, but we must also learn to use it. Ephesians 6 speaks about the sword of the Spirit as the offensive weapon against the devil, and we must use it. Then thirdly, any diet needs to have caloric burning. And I'm not talking about the kind that I began my message with this morning. I'm talking about witnessing for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, how would we be if we were just couch potatoes and just ate and never moved anywhere? You know, that's just about describing a lot of America today. We have the remote, and we have all of these special features and everything around us. The sofas have cup dispensers, and all of the microwave and all of the instant access to things. And we take in, but are we burning up? Likewise, I think of an analogy to the Christian. Taking in God's Word, so often we do. But yet, are we exercising ourselves in the sense of openly telling others about Him? Look at the exercise of verse 13. Verse 13, with my lips I have declared all the judgments of thy mouth. We may know a great deal of the Word of God, but has it motivated us to have a compassion for lost souls? Sad to say, one of the greatest dangers confronting many theological students and seminary and Bible college students is that they began thinking, number one, they begin thinking, oh, my Bible classes can take the place of my own time in the Word. And number two, we can have that idea that, well, I'm just going to take in, and the taking in becomes an end in itself. And, you know, knowledge begins to puff up. But we must give out and minister to the needs of people. Otherwise, we're going to get spiritual indigestion. Oh, David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with a free spirit. Then I will teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Do you see? Spiritual exercise. When we get in a right place with the Lord in proper fellowship, we will tell others about the truths of God's Word. How it brings me joy as I hear of various individuals saying, Pastor John, I had a chance to share the Word of God with someone that helped me to change my tire at Walmart, or I had a chance to leave a track with someone that was a cashier and they showed an interest. I've gotten phone calls from individuals that have left tracks. Folks from Central Florida Bible Church right here. And people have called me and actually wanted to know information a little bit more. And it was very positive. And it lets me know, oh, what a joy it is to see God's people sharing the Word of God. You know, the story is told of a man by the name of John Currier. This is a true story. John Currier, in 1949, was found guilty of murder, and he was sentenced to life in prison. Later, he was transferred and paroled to work on a farm near Nashville, Tennessee. Well, just about 19 years later, in 1968, Currier's sentence was terminated and a letter was dispatched and it was sent to him to that effect, that his sentence was terminated. But you know, John Currier never got the letter. He never received the letter. He was never told about the letter. And you know, life on that farm was hard. And he didn't have any promise for the future. And he didn't think that he had any hope. And he felt he was there for life. And yet, John Currier kept on doing what he was told to do. And even at the farm, the person that owned that farm, that directed it, he kept on, even after he died, working at that farm. 10 years passed by. And a state parole officer learned about Currier's plight, that he had not received the news of the commuting of his sentence. And he found John Currier and told him that his sentence had been terminated. He was a free man. Provision had been made for his freedom, and he didn't even know about it. Let me ask you a question. Would it matter to you if someone sent you an important message? The most important message of your life, and nobody told you about it year after year after year? Some of you can't wait to go home and open up your email and find out what has taken place in the 2 or 3 hours since you've been gone. Somebody that might want to contact you with some information. And yet here was John Currier, year after year, in bondage when he could have been set free. You know, we who have heard the good news and experienced freedom through Christ are responsible to proclaim it to others that are still enslaved by sin. And I ask you, as I ask my own heart, am I doing all that I can to get the message out? Openly tell others about Him. The fourth prescription for a diet that works is found in verse 14. We need to rejoice and delight in God's workings. You know, in verse 14 it says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Are we seeking the true spiritual riches? You know, some Christians never smile. I remember several churches back, I had an usher that you could not get him to smile if you gave him all of the riches that verse 14 are talking about. He took the offering with such a scowl. I don't know if he thought that scared people into giving or what. But several people, I'd go visiting, and visitors that would visit the church, and they'd say, who was he angry at? He had such a scowl. But you know, we who know the Lord, by the way, all of our ushers smile. Isn't that nice? We're glad about that, you know. But we who know the Lord, we above all people ought to smile. We ought to reflect the radiance of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they say that when you're past 40, your spiritual attitude reflects on your face. Smile more. Let your delight shine before the Lord. You know, laughter has tremendous therapeutic benefits. And I think that sometimes maybe we just take ourselves a little bit too serious. When's the last time your children actually saw you smile and give a good rip-roaring laughter because of having a good time with your family? You know, it's long been said that laughter is the best medicine. Researchers believe that laughter can strengthen your heart, it can improve lung capacity, even boost your immune system. And it can give you an emotional lift as well as even relieve pain and stress. Did you know that you have 80 muscles in your face? That's right, 80 muscles in your face. It takes 17 muscles to smile. And it takes 43 to frown. So which do you prefer to do? Let me look around and see a nice smile on everybody's face. Oh, yes. Folks, we have a lot to be happy about. Even young kids here smiling. It's good to see that. Oh, how important. Who has a reason to be happy and to smile more than a believer who has passed from death unto life? God has given unto us and imparted His life within our bosoms. All of this, all things that pertain to life and godliness, and we are heirs to all things, and the best is yet to come. And we, as believers, need to learn to rejoice. And rejoicing is part of a necessary spiritual diet in our hearts. I suppose it would be a good time to just stop right here and have a testimony time. And who has something to rejoice over? And I wonder just what we would hear. I'm sure we would hear many testimonies. Look at verse 15, the fifth prescription for a diet that works. Spend more of your free moments meditating on His principles. You're always complaining about getting stuck on I-4 or on the East-West Expressway. Well, how about practicing verse 15? I will meditate in thy precepts, and I will have respect unto thy ways. You see, first comes the internalizing and then the outworking of that. Weave them into your driving time, your workouts, while you're waiting for that dreaded doctor's appointments. Meditate upon the truths of God's Word. You're having trouble going to sleep? Try talking with the shepherd. I had a matter that was going through my mind about 2 o'clock in the morning, and it kept on coming back, and it kept on coming back. And I'm not ashamed to tell you what it was. I was concerned about my dad and just being alone, you know. And nights are hard, and evening hours are hard, and we can try to fill in and do things, but if any of you that are widowed, you know what I'm referring to. And I just got to the point where I said, Lord Jesus, I need to commit this to you. Lord, I need to be fresh tomorrow, but I'm committing this. I'm going to leave this in your hands. You are the comforter, and I can commit my dad into your hands. And you know, it was just a matter of what seemed like seconds, and I was back to sleep. I was able to pillow my head. God's Spirit just engulfed me with peace, telling me, John, it's okay. I can handle that, and I can do more than you can even begin to understand. And God gave me comfort. And some of you may wake up in the evening hours, and you have concerns in your heart. But you know, spend those times claiming God's Word and God's promises. Then number 6 is found in verse 16. The sixth element for a proper diet: give God your full respect. Give God your full respect. You know, we need to learn to delight what God delights in. Why do we stay away from the evil influences that are in the world today? Because we are to hate what God hates. And too often, the reason why we play with sin and we never fully close the door on it is because secretly we're harboring and entertaining. And, you know, in 1 Samuel 15, you have the story of Saul's disobedience. God told Saul through Samuel, you are to slay the Amalekites and don't leave one remnant of the Amalekites before you. And we know that Saul kept King Agag, and he kept the sheep and the oxen. Then Samuel came up to him and said, Saul, have you done obediently that which I have kept all of that which you have told me to do. He was somehow trying to convince himself of that and thought he could convince others. Samuel said, what is it that I hear, the bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen? You know, when there's disobedience in our lives, it's always going to be made manifest in our homes, in our families, in our attitudes, in our lifestyle, in our actions. What is it that I hear? And you know, Samuel hewed Agag into pieces before Saul. Samuel did what Saul should have been willing to do. And you know, sometimes we'll go just so far with God, but you know, we don't go all the way with what He wants us to do, and we're holding back. And we're not following Him with our whole heart. And the Lord wants us. That King Agag in our lives is that one little room that's left that we hold the key to. That one compartment, that one little area, could be the size of a glove compartment of a car, so to speak, of our lives. That small area, there's Agag right there. And until we hew it to pieces and wholeheartedly follow after God, that is going to be the stumbling block that could very well destroy us. And that King Agag in our lives could be worldliness, a worldly spirit, a desire to be accepted above all else. It might be wanting to dress like the world, to act like the world, to have the acceptance of the world. It might be pornography. It might be alcohol. It might be a filthy mouth that reveals our hearts that are not right with God. It might be a myriad of things. And I don't need to enumerate long lists of sins and vices, because all of us know in the wickedness of our hearts what they are. But we need to hew Agag to pieces. Notice, I will delight myself in thy statutes. You know, God's Word is not burdensome. God's Word is a treasure that is to be assimilated, because it's for our good. God desires to give us good things and not evil things. He wants us to find the right man, the right woman, to have the right type of home, the right time of testimony. Yes, tribulation will come, but God wants for us to have a long and fruitful life serving Him. I will delight myself in thy statutes. Give God your full respect. Delight in what He delights in. Do not forget His word. It says, I will not forget thy word. A diet that works for the Lord. Let's bow our heads together. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, are you seeking the Lord and treasuring His truth in your heart? Maybe you've lost your burden for lost souls. Maybe you've lost the joy of your salvation. And it has caused you to be so concerned about introspection that you've lost the view of giving of yourself in order to receive. Maybe for some, there's a need to hew Agag to pieces. Destroy it to the root, and make not provision to fulfill the lusts thereof. Whatever that is, take this moment of reflection to allow the Spirit of God to place the searchlight of His Word in your spiritual diet. And confess that to Him. Seek to honor His Word. Father, thank You for Your Word, for the admonitions that are given to us in Psalm 119. Bless us now, Lord, as we desire to rise up and serve You and to represent You to a lost and a dying generation that, Lord, has received that promise of pardon. But, Lord, many have not been told. We are debtors to tell others about Christ. It's our reasonable service to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Speak to us in our heart's need, in our family's needs. May we, like Josiah, impact our lives and the lives of others by being willing to say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, with thanksgiving for what You'll do. Amen.